encouraged about this facility and building this facility. And so I was asked, I would still ask the question, what is different about this church now that you have paid off your mortgage? Or what will be different when they light the torch and burn up the note? What will be different? The Bible has a lot of things about the contribution of those who willingly gave to the tabernacle. Do you remember that the monies flowed in as they requested the need for a sanctuary where people could dwell among God? And so there they were, and the monies came in. The monies came from every part. And they had so much money, they had to ask him to quit giving out the money. Too much money. And your pastor put it out, you were paying in pigs. So that everybody could be a participant in the building of a sanctuary, of a place of worship where people can gather and meet with God. So praise God, from whom all blessings flow. My house shall be called a house of prayer, Jesus said. Remember that Jesus went into the sanctuary. They were doing things that were inappropriate to be in the sanctuary. And you remember that he chased them all out, overturned the money changers' tables, and then he said that this place is a place of prayer. He said it. My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you, he said, have made it a den of thieves. God forbid that that would ever happen in our church. God forbid that that could happen. So in order for this note burning, in order for this special occasion that could mean anything, we must do more than just dedicate mortar and brick and lumber and carpet and furniture. We must dedicate ourselves to God. And so, if I were to ask you the question, what part of your church do you like the best? What do you like? Do you like the lights? Do you like the windows? Do you like the pews? Do you like the beautiful window, especially the top part of that? What do you like about your church? What is the most important thing? For me, as I was a pastor all those years, I remember that I really especially liked the pulpit. And if we go to one of the old churches in Cades Cove or someplace where they have some old church, and you go in there and the little wooden benches and things like that, and you got a wooden pew. I like to go up and look in the pew. I like to see what it looks like. So what about the pew? Do you know that the pew in Protestant churches, that the pew actually has to do with the Word of God? This is where the Word is spoken. Here. Pulpit. The Word of God is spoken here. And so that at a very special place. If you were inspecting the building, and I've been on a number of building projects, both overseas and in the United States, and it's always a wonderful privilege and to see a building come together. In fact, it's a blessed experience to see a church come when you have your first day in that sanctuary, and so when the inspector comes, he's looking at everything. He wants to make sure that everything is built appropriately and correctly. But I'll have to tell you that having stood in concrete, pouring the footings or pouring the slab, now what an exciting thing to stand in concrete and get it all ready. But I have to tell you what is really most important about this building. What the inspector looks very carefully at, and before you pour the concrete, you have to make sure that it's dug deep enough, that it's dug wide enough, that before you pour that concrete, you have to make sure you got the rebar in the right place, and that you put the rebar in and it's all wired together and you have it all right, so that when you pour that concrete on that footing, it's exactly what it's supposed to be, and the rest of the building is going to and that footing. So it has to be right. And that's the way it needs to happen. And so the rebar has to be right. And the same is true of your life and mine. The foundation must be built on the solid rock. Is that right? It has to be built on the solid rock. And it's illustrated by the story on the Sermon on the Mount. If you have your Bibles, you can look. It's in Matthew chapter 7. It's one that you're familiar with, one that we've read before. Matthew 7, verse 24 and on. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them," Jesus said, "I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." You see that? What kind of a person was he? He was a wise man. Why? Because he built his house on a rock. And then he says, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." And then he goes on to say, "But everyone who hears these things of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So we have this wonderful story told by Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount that you have two kinds of builders. You have a builder who builds his house on a rock, and it stands firm, and it stands fast, and it cannot be moved. And then you have one who is a foolish man, and he builds his house on the sand, and it falls flat, because he built it on the sand. So when I have traveled throughout the country, I've been to a place called Monterey, California. If you go to Monterey, California, there's a building there that is 300 feet from the ocean. And it keeps eroding away year after year, year after year. It's eroding away. And it's getting closer and closer to the edge of the cliff. There's not much left. And so it's not built on a very solid foundation. The ground is solid, but it's eroding away. It's eroding away. And if you go to the wonderful state of Alaska, as I was driving in Alaska, it was interesting to know they have something called permafrost. You know about permafrost. So permafrost, if you build your house on permafrost, it will not stand. It will not have adequate foundation. It will not be able to withstand when it begins to shift. And when I saw a house, we were driving by a house and we looked at that house, and you know what? Half of the house had sunk. So half of the house was still on its original foundation, and half of the house was several feet lower than that house because it was built on the permafrost. It was not built on the kind of foundation that is talking about in Scripture, about the wise man who built his foundation in the right place. And so it was the Apostle Paul who made this comment. He said, "For we are God's fellow workers. You," he said, "you are God's field. You are God's building." So he's taking that a step further to say that you're the building of God. And it goes on to say, "According to the grace of God, which was given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it." Be careful, he's saying. Be careful about how you build and the kind of material you use and whether you got a right rebar in there or whatever. Be careful how you build on it. He says, "But let each one take heed how he builds on it." Be careful, he says. For he says this, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." This church has to have a foundation of Jesus Christ as the center. He must be the foundation. He must be the person that gives us guidance and direction. It must be the Word of God from this pulpit and from your Sabbath school classes or from wherever you're reading the Word of God. It has to come. No other foundation than Jesus Christ. That is the only foundation. And so a life built solidly on a sure foundation. You know, when you read the gifts of the Spirit, do you remember that when you read the gifts of the Spirit in fair? I'll mention that just briefly here. The gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to look at that. But you'll remember that there were diversities of gifts, same Spirit, differences of ministries and so on. And it says in verse 12, it says these, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, and so also is Christ." So here we're all the family of God, aren't we? We're all the body of Christ. We all have different gifts and abilities. And it goes on to say, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." So here we are. We're all family. We're all the body of Christ. We're all together, and we all have the same blessedness of the Spirit of God and in our lives. And it says the foot can't be say that it doesn't need a hand, or an eye can't say it doesn't need an ear. We're all part of the body. We're all members of God in particular. So praise God from whom all blessings flow. And so life built on the sure foundation of Jesus Christ will remain. The footing will be sure. What will be different about our sanctuary after today's meeting? After he torches that note, what will be different about it? The difference will be a building set apart for worship and a congregation of people committed to worship. It will be when Moses was on Mount Horeb and he saw the burning bush being consumed and God called from the bush, "Moses, Moses, Moses," he said, "Moses." And God said to him, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." And so it is the presence of God. It's the presence of God in this place that makes it holy. The fact that God is here, that's what makes it holy. That's what needs to happen. And we put our arms together, and God puts his arms around us, and we all are blessed as a part of the God of God. In a part of this sanctuary, in a part of this church family. So it is my prayer that as we celebrate this building, we will invite the presence of God into our lives. If there's going to be a change in this sanctuary as a result of this note burning, it has to happen within me and you. And so holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They recorded in the Holy Scriptures that which contained the words of the Holy God, his holy law to be proclaimed in a holy Sabbath day in this special holy place. And so, I leave you with these words. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. May God help us all to stand on a sure footing, the rock, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.